That's too much. Well, hello again. I hope that illustrated for you the importance of Mother's Day, why she gets a day. She certainly deserves one. What does the commandment say? Honor your mother. So that's what we're here to do today. You want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with today's message. When I was a little boy, I asked my mom, "Mom, where do babies come from?" Well, she paused for a moment and then she said, "Well, they come from their mommy's tummy." That satisfied me for a very short time. But how do they get into their mommy's tummy? I asked. Well, my mom was not the type to discuss such things, especially with her little whippersnapper. And so she evaded the subject somehow. I don't remember how. And so I'm still wondering how it happens. Really, I don't think anybody except God understands, truly knows how it happens. How life comes into being from non-life. Of course, doctors and scientists, even a health book, can show you about the mechanics of fertilization and so forth. But how human life begins, only God knows that. And yet somehow it happens in the womb of a mother. Today, I'd like to share with you for just a few minutes about the mystery of motherhood by taking a brief look at the mother of all mothers. That's the title of our message today. The one who started it all. The grandest great-great-grandmother of all mothers and grandmothers, the mother of all humanity, your mother and my mother. Of course, her name is Eve. Every woman here is a daughter of Eve. You and I, we may have different moms, but ultimately we all share the same mother. That makes all of us related in our mother. We're all children of Eve, and since we're all related to her, and since every mom, to one degree or another, follows in her footsteps, we can learn some practical truths from her about how to treat our moms, guys, how we're to treat our wives, and about the role of womanhood in general. So let's look this morning at three facts about your other mother. Number one, the first fact, she was created for companionship. When we purchased this building to renovate it, the first thing our general contractor, Chuck Binkowski, wanted was the blueprints, the original blueprints of this building. Why so? Well, obviously, you want to find out what the original design was of a building if you're going to make any kind of modifications. You want to know where things were put and try to figure out why they were put there. And the best way to do that is to look at the original design of a building. Well, the same is true, folks, with human beings. The original design, the original creation of our mother, when we look at it, we learn about her original intention. Genesis chapter 2, we begin at verse 18, and you help me out when we get to the yellow print. It says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good." It's the first time he ever said that in creation. Everything else was good up to that point. But when he came and he saw this state of affairs, he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. They were originally one. In creation of woman, they were separated, and in marriage, they come back to be one once again. Woman was originally designed to be a companion, to come alongside the man and to face with him the challenges of life. No one else on earth, no mammal, no bird, no reptile can fill this role. Man's best friend is not the dog. Man's best friend is woman. It's companionship. That's why women tend, shall we say, to be more verbal than men. All sorts of studies have, you know, it's not just my own personal experience and observation, and of course, this is a generalization, but it does happen to be the fact. I heard about a study once that was done on children. They recorded all these different children as they were out on the playground, and then they compared the recordings to see what they could learn from them. And it was interesting. The girls tended to kind of flock together into little groups, and they would have intelligent conversations with each other, speak in complete sentences, and speak quite intelligibly. But when it came to the boys actually spoke very little English, very little any other kind of language. There were a lot of grunts and groans and yells and unintelligible noises that came from the guys. You know, the age-old question. People often ask, well, why was Adam created before Eve? Has that ever bothered you before? Why was Adam created first and then Eve? Well, I think this is really a no-brainer. I figured it out. I know it's because God wanted to give the poor guy a chance to say something, you know? Eve was the first woman ever to say, I don't have a thing to wear. And it was true. In her case, it was true. But have you ever noticed that all her daughters seem to say the same thing, even if they got a closet full of clothes? I can never figure that out. Well, I think it's because of their first mother. Notice that the woman was made from Adam's rib, not from his head bone to rule over him, nor from his foot bone so that he could stomp on her, but from his rib so that she could be by his side. When you think about it, really, she got the better deal. She was made out of a rib, but the Bible says that the man, Adam, was made out of dirt. And so, you know, you've heard of the book, Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus. You've heard about that book? Well, actually, the fact is, men are from dirt. Women are from red, hot, and blue. There you go. And because she was made from man's rib as a companion, women generally tend, and you know, again, this is a bit of a generalization, they tend to favor relationships more than men. Communication, interaction. Men and women are wired differently. And guys, if we're going to learn to love our moms, we're going to learn to love our wives, we're going to understand our daughters, it means we need to respond to them in the way that they need to be loved, not just the way that we necessarily would want to be loved, but the way they need to be loved. This means that when you come home from work, guys, and you're tired, and you've already used up all your words for the day, you have nothing left but grunts and groans, you need to understand that she needs verbal interaction with you. She needs affirmation. She needs to hear from you that you love her, not just to see it demonstrated in the way you provide and the way you care, but she needs to hear it too. To her, things like weekly dates and flowers and walks and holding hands, chances are they mean a lot more to her than they do to you. But we guys are not always aware of these things. We're not always sensitive for this need for communication and affection and affirmation. It reminds me, you know, Eve once sent to Adam, "Adam, do you love me?" And he said, "Well, who else? Who else?" And that, you know, I thought that was rather callous of him to come back with that kind of a response. Well, let's look at the second fact about your other mother. Number two on your outline, she was destined for nurturing. Nurturing. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and got expelled, Adam gave his wife another name. What was that other name? It might not be what you're thinking. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, "Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live." We're not told why Adam gave his wife a second name, but I have a theory about this. I think that Eve was getting tired of being called woman all the time. Have you ever tried that, guys, with your your wife or your girlfriend? "Hey, woman." Usually they don't take too kindly to that. So I think Adam got tired of her complaining so much and saying, "You know, I need another name." So he gave in, as we men tend to do. Her first name, woman, looks back to her origin, that she was taken out of man. But her second name, Eve, looks ahead to her destiny, that she would be the mother of all humanity. Somebody asked, "When was Adam created?" Well, the answer, of course, is a little before Eve, right? Right? Forget it. You guys are all laughed out from all my other funny jokes today, aren't you? Well, the word Eve is actually a Hebrew word play on the word life. She was named Eve because, as a mom, she would be a life giver. That's a unique role. You know, it's sad that in our society today, women are often told to look at pregnancy as if it were a disease, the thing that makes them vulnerable, the thing that holds them back, that keeps them in bondage. To be free from the threat of pregnancy, they are told, is to be liberated, so that they can become equal with men and have the same jobs and salaries and run the world like men do. But in becoming liberated like this, women turn their backs on the one thing that no man can ever do, and that is the one thing that is indispensable for the survival of the human race, and that is to be a giver of life. No man can do that. Scripture teaches that this is the unique and decisive role of women. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty." Should women pursue careers and get equal pay for the work that they do? Well, of course. Of course. But Christian moms need to realize that their first priority, their greatest privilege, their first calling in life is nurturing their children. The Bible's advice for moms is to stay at home with the kids while they're small and need that irreplaceable attention from mom that only mom can give. Later, when kids are off at school or working outside the home, can be great for mom. Of course, in some situations, such as in the case of a single mom or in a household where finances are tight, we need to realize that there may need to be exceptions in those cases, obviously. But really, if we want the very, very best for our kids, we need to give them the best. And the best is to have mom with them at home, even if it means driving an older model car or having a smaller house or fewer toys or gadgets around. It's worth the sacrifice. None of that stuff outweighs having mom at home with the kids. When Debbie and I had our first child, who happens to be sitting next to her right now, Jess, Debbie's job at that time paid more than mine did. And so we realized that if she quit her job, that was really going to be a major change for us, a big adjustment. We would have to change our standard of living. But we wanted the best for our kids. And so we made that sacrifice. Debbie became a stay-at-home mom for about 15 years. While we had our three children. Now she's back at the workplace. A survey conducted in 2007 by Pew Research found that more and more moms in the United States now say that they would rather be at home with their kids. Actually, a majority would prefer to be home with their kids than working. And this shouldn't surprise us, because all the radical feminist propaganda in the world can't change the original blueprint of mom's original design, her creation. She was designed and destined by God to be a nurturer. Let's look at the third fact about your other mother. She was promised a savior. It was through our first mom and dad that sin entered the world. And so if you want to blame your parents and say, "It's all my parents' fault, I turned out the way I did, or I'm this way, or I've got these problems," actually, you can do that. You can blame your parents. Your first parents, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God in the garden and came under the judgment of God. Sin, you might say, entered their genes. And all of their offspring are infected with the pandemic of sin, folks. Sin altered the very makeup of our being. So now it's in our nature for us to be sinners. We're all sinners, even the very best of us. And you know, you don't need a Bible to prove this. You just can turn on the evening news and you'll see it there. You'll see how all our brothers and sisters in Adam are messing up the world through things like murder and rape and theft and wars and all different kinds of things. But you know something? You don't even have to turn on the TV. You can look in your own household and you can see that beautiful new baby that comes into the world and realize that it is totally self-centered, isn't it? Right when it's born. I mean, he or she just wants what he wants. Wants to be fed, wants to be changed, wants to be held. And doesn't matter if mom is tired or dad is busy or doing something else, they want it and they want it now. Why is that? Well, it's because that's the way we're born. We're born as little savages. I remember when Jess was first born. I held her in my arms and she was gorgeous and beautiful and we loved her, of course. But I said, here I have in my arms this beautiful little bundle of depravity. Because I knew that's what she is. That's what Scripture teaches. You notice that as your kids grow up, you never have to teach kids how to misbehave. You never have to teach them that. You don't have to send them to school to learn how to lie or how to be selfish or how to throw a fit or be disrespectful. They just seem to have that instinctively within them. But they do have to be taught by us how to behave, how to get along, how to apologize, how to make things right. It's because, folks, we're all born sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Says it very plainly. It says, when Adam sinned, and notice it's always the guy that gets the main brunt of it. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. But right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God made a promise that one day the offspring of our first mother would crush the head of the devil. And that was the first promise in a long line of promises that God gave of a Messiah, a Savior that would come into the world. Genesis chapter 3, God speaking to the devil says, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. The striking of the heel here is an obscure reference to the fact that the coming Savior would suffer our consequences of the devil's power over us. And that happened when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, paying for our death, our rebellion in our place. And then he arose from the dead. Our mother was promised a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. He's the only hope for mankind, the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. There's a scripture in John chapter 3, verse 36, that expresses that hope this way. It says, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment for our sins. This is what Jesus taught. This is what the Bible teaches, that salvation comes to us through the person that was promised to our first parents in the garden, to Eve, and her offspring would provide that salvation. And I'm certain that as a mother, Eve would want her children to be saved by the promised Savior. Have you been saved? Have you? Have you come to that point in your life where you've admitted, where you've realized that you're a hell-bound sinner, unable to save yourself? If you've never come to that point, you need to. That's the bad news. Once you've confessed that bad news about yourself, you need to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus, who died for you on the cross and arose from the dead. That decision will bring about salvation for you, and your life will be forever altered. If you'd like to know more about that, I invite you to come down and talk with us after the service, and we can lead you in making that decision. Why don't we stand? We're going to close our service now with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this good day, and thank you for the children that have been dedicated here. Thank you, Lord, for our first mom, the mother of all mothers, Eve. And Lord, she puts us on the right path. We can understand the original design by understanding her. May we follow that and benefit from it, Father. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. Happy Mother's Day.